Welcome everybody to episode 140 of the You Can't Comp This NBA Trading Card Podcast. We are your hosts, Adam, Amy, and Russell Gibson. The playoffs are about to begin.
Hello, hello everyone. Hope you're very well tonight.
Yes, it's a good night. We're a bit earlier. The playoffs are almost upon us. I say almost because a couple of the play-in games have already happened.
It's such a weird situation they've set up with it. So those play-in games don't include on their regular season record.
Mm-mm.
But I don't believe they also count on their playoff record. It's bizarre.
It's that limbo.
Yeah.
Where, like, what was it? The in-season tournament. I should know all about this. It's the only thing I had to celebrate all season as a Lakers fan. But Anthony Davis's big, like, 40-20 game didn't count. Like, it just didn't count.
Yeah. They need to get that sorted out.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? Like,
if you go out and play 40 minutes in a professional basketball game, it should count.
Few players that have had 40-point game, 40 pieces now that their stats won't count. Oh, well. Where do we want to kick off? There's a lot
this
week.
Let's just get into it. So the Sacramento Kings eliminated the Warriors. So I thought that was a really good opportunity for us to talk about, first of all, the Warriors dynasty.
Yep.
And I think the obvious leading question here is this the end of a dynasty? And then the second part to that question is, what should the Warriors do with their roster? So
is it the end of the dynasty? Let's start with that one.
Sure.
I think the dynasty's over. Do I think this is the end of success for someone like Steph Curry? Probably not. That's a short answer to it.
So if you say that, what has to happen for Steph Curry to have success?
I think there'll be some retooling in Golden State. I think Draymond Green is going to be the piece that he wants to keep because there's some interesting dynamics as far as Steph being a great leader and Draymond being a great enforcer for Steph, almost. Steph's a little bit lost when Draymond Green's off the court. It feels like Steph is not lost, but yeah. I think he's more in sync with Draymond than someone like Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
I know that's a big call, given that they were the Splash Brothers, but I don't know. I feel like, yeah, Klay might be a different discussion point.
So I think the difference between their on-court performance at the moment is that Draymond's game is less dependent on shooting and he's more reliant on defensive positioning and playmaking, which is probably something that's a bit easier to replicate game in and game out.
Sure.
As we saw with Klay in his last game, which was 0-for-8. So Klay Thompson's also a free agent. And Draymond's, I'm just looking at his contract now, so he's got a player option for 26-27, which at $27.7 million, I find that very difficult to think he's going to turn that down. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Steve Kerr came out and said immediately after the game that they want Klay to come back. In my fantasy world head, if I was a general manager, Klay coming back at, say, $10 million a year, and that gives them room to bring someone else with them, because I think he got paid 28 this year. So
yeah,
if you imagine sort of bringing someone else in for 18 and then, you know, he takes 10 million and comes off the bench, I think that would be perfect. Because
I think Klay, as far as team first, I think Klay is taking his pay cuts. I don't think Klay is going to be interested in that team first buy-in, let's win a championship at the cost of some salary narrative. I don't know. Like, it's to be seen. We'll see what happens in free agency. The Warriors have got a bit of an extended holiday now to think about it.
Yeah, definitely.
They did try to retool this season. They brought Chris Paul in. I don't think people were sure how that was going to work.
Yeah.
And I don't really think the Warriors sort of got the most out of it. Injuries are going to play a part in this season, but still, yeah, I think they need to go back to the drawing board and think about how they're going to make their next run.
So just on two things you just said then. So Klay Thompson's total career earnings is $223 million. And it's very easy for me to someone like take a pay cut. But when you put into that context, and I also don't imagine Klay Thompson to be the type of guy that's going out and spending you know, $500,000 at adult entertainment venues each weekend. So I kind of get the feeling he's still got about 150 of that left, right? So
yeah, he's probably got a little bit of money in the bank.
I would love to see someone like Klay Thompson take a pay cut and then retool someone else. But at the same time, I understand how that's, you know, it's a fantasy of me saying that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, so we just spoke about Draymond's contract. Then Chris Paul is non-guaranteed next year for $30 million. And that makes it very difficult for me to think that either he won't be traded from the Warriors. I think that's a really amazing trade chip of $30 million and then he can be waived. That's that to me is juicy as anything. So maybe that's where the Warriors retool. Because in my mind, and I've sort of been saying this for a little while now, like we've been seeing the slow, steady decline of this Warriors team. And I think if they don't do something major, it's just going to be more of the same, of that slow, steady decline.
For sure.
And so at the same time, obviously I'm very biased in this space, but I think you do have to give the Kings like some flowers too, because they've had some... If you look back the last 3 years, they've had some really good battles with the Warriors and actually have been some well-played basketball. And I think you saw the look on the Kings' faces when they left that court. They were very, very happy with themselves.
It was very much a revenge game. Let's not sugarcoat it. Like the Warriors ended the Kings' season last year on Sacramento's floor.
In pretty dramatic fashion too.
Yeah.
The Kings were leading that series by a lot. So I think...
Yeah.
You can make the argument that the Kings have actually improved quite a lot since then. And I think they have gotten better in the last 12 months. But I think the other thing you need to mention too with the Kings is a lot of their current rotations are actually very injury related and circumstantial. So they've lost the Red Rocket, which actually is quite a big change for them, because anything else that comes into that roster is a lot less shooting and a lot more D. So, you know, that definitely changed the equation of the way that they're playing. And of course, losing Malik Monk is, you know, 20 points off the bench each game. So they've really had to change the way that they play. And Keegan Murray stepped up, and Sabonis was just too strong in the middle for the Warriors. So I'm very biased in this space, but at the same time, it was a great game to watch. But I think overall for me, my gut feeling about this is that I just want to give a lot of respect to the Warriors, because they've been a fantastic champion, and I just want to give them nothing but, you know, flowers and...
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely not going to hang crap on them like all the memes have been doing.
I mean, there's a lot to process. And look, the Warriors have been such a good team for such a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're right. They definitely owed some kudos
for
how well they've been, how long they've been together.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. I think they've got the pieces to do a very quick retool and rebuild.
Yeah, right, okay.
I think they've got options available to them, and I don't know. They seem to be... We'll see how good an organization they are by the way they adjust to these changes.
They've been telling us for a fairly long time they're the smartest organization in the league, so let's see where this goes. But
let's see. Time will tell.
Time will tell. Right, so Card Ladder came out with an amazing post basically for our show. I think they just made it for
us. They did. It was nice of them.
Very nice of them. A PSA 9 gold kaboom of Klay Thompson recently sold for $4,270. And then a De'Aaron Fox fast break gold number to 10 recently sold for $3,150. So Adam, which one would you take? Ooh.
So we're talking number to 10, pop count.
So both of the cards are number to 10. The Klay Thompson's number to 10 and also the Fox's.
Yep. Okay. So and the Fox is a rookie, right?
Correct.
Fast break rookie auto.
Sticker autograph, though. We definitely have to emphasize that.
Yeah,
and
true.
Also it's the fast break variant, which is the lesser desired of some of the different Prism variants. Or you could say underappreciated parallels.
Underappreciated parallels.
I personally think that there is value in buying fast breaks, but I would also say too, they are not as aesthetically pleasing as some of the other variants that are out there, like the color match blue or the color match straight green. I think that's, you know, very nice to look at. Sometimes those fast breaks are pretty busy.
I'm on the fence a bit with it, because of the game, honestly, but I'm going to go with the Klay. I'm going to go with the Kaboom.
Yeah. I think for my own collection, you know where I'm going with this.
Like, yep.
There's not really much of a conversation to be had here. And I would love to own that particular card.
Yeah.
In a different universe when I was, you know, flying around the world in private jets and this type of stuff, that would just be, you know, sitting in my pocket. Like, that's
it.
But I think from a bigger picture, and if you do zoom out, and we've spoken about Kabooms in terms of, you know, long-term value and buying up Kabooms irregardless of who the player is, you know, I think that's a very, very collectible card. The other thing that's a little bit interesting too, I think, with Klay Thompson is that, and I think he'd be the type of guy that would be quite interesting in our spreadsheet for the rookies and then the looking at the market cap.
Yeah.
Because I wonder at the moment if he's a little bit under-collected, undervalued, and then moving into the future, people will start to remember his contributions to the game and, you know, how he did contribute so much to that dynasty that he's been a part of. So I think there's really two parts to this story in terms of, you know, like Klay Thompson being underappreciated and then B, just this is a gold Kaboom up to 10. So,
yeah. It's interesting with the Klay Thompson narrative, how whether or not he'll be overshadowed by Steph in the history books. But
Definitely is and definitely will be. But I think there's still some room to grow in that space in terms of his collectability. That's what definitely. I like about that.
Definitely.
All right. The next game, this is a very sad story, I think, the way to say it. So the Lakers defeated the Pelicans. Zion Williamson had an absolutely ridiculous game, 40 points, 11 rebounds. 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. I think, you know, this is almost the ultimate story and almost the career summary of this guy at the moment, where he was having a fantastic year. He was rallying these Pelicans and he was taking that game by the scruff of the neck, honestly. It looked to me...
He was, yeah. Yep.
And I felt this way a long time about Zion. It really feels sometimes it's men playing with boys. He just makes people look small. And it seemed like a couple of the drives in that game that people were just getting out of his way and he was just...
Well, when LeBron didn't get out of his way, LeBron took a very heavy charge from Zion and it flattened him. It
feels like sometimes he walks to the basket and there's no one else around him, though. It's just his presence is...
Yeah. Zion is... Like, he was showing so much and post... in-season tournament, which is the last time, like, just when sort of that turning point happened for the Pelicans.
Yeah.
They've been really good. Really, really good. And Zion's been healthy, and for him to exit the game with a hamstring injury, 3 minutes to go, I think that's devastating. Like, I think there's a real factor there as to why the Lakers won. Because they were coming home with a wet sail, the Pelicans. And
yeah. I agree. I think the game outcome could definitely have been different if Zion had stayed in the game, 100%.
Yep. And Brandon Ingram was on, not a minutes restriction, but he'd spent too long on the bench and was cooling off, so they couldn't get him back on the court.
I think he still is on a minutes restriction.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is, he's still coming back from an injury himself.
Yeah.
So I think take what you just said then, and I think you really need to reflect on that, because I think we now need to accept this is who Zion Williamson is. He's going to have these amazing spurts in games and then he's going to have injuries. And it just seems like, you know, both are going to come hand in hand with this guy. So
yeah,
I think I'm at the point now where it's not that I don't trust him. It's just this is where that's the basket I put him into. He's going to be a high-performing player when he's on the court, but you really can only expect him to be there between 45 and, say, 62 games a year. I really think that's his future now. And then look, he might do a Bill Walton and then string together one healthy year of his career and get that championship. Like, who knows? But I think really that's where you need to put him into. So his injury has been now reported on. He's been through every scanner known to man, including an MRI. He has got a left hamstring strain. So they're quite specific about that. It is a strain, not a tear.
Yeah.
So he's out for the Kings game, which is the next elimination game, which is coming up. So if you're a Kings fan, you know, that's really good. And I think that then puts a lot of backwards pressure on Brandon Ingram, because I think he's the one who's going to be expected to fill up a lot of the slack. The other winners in that potential space is Herbert Jones and Trey Murphy, because there's going to be a lot more shots and ball handling opportunities going around. So I think we should check Zion's prices at the moment, though, because it might be too early to see any current reflections on what's been going on, but
I've got the 6 month data up.
Sure.
he's actually down almost 30% over the last 6 months.
Which I'm not surprised about that, because his total pop across PSA and BGS is 3,642, and that's for the silvers.
Yeah. I'll get the pop report, the detailed one up from Card Ladder.
Current market cap at is 1.43 million.
Far out. So, yeah, total population on the silvers is 8,460. Total gems, 3,642.
Sure.
Yeah. So, he gems at a rate of 43%, but that's a lot of gems across PSA and Beckett.
It is. Oh, do you want to know something funny? I've been sitting and adding up each number individually, not realizing that it says total gems at the top. I wondered how you got that number so quickly. That's a good one for me to...
Yeah, when you click on the little booklet in Card Ladder, and it gives you the population report, it goes total population, then total gems, and the last population update, which is probably an important...
I didn't read that, Dad.
I like that. It's very in your face. Thank you, Ryan, for...
So I think we have to ask the question again. Is this a buy, hold, or a sell at the moment?
I hate to say it, but I think it's a sell.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you.
I'm off the train.
Yeah.
I think he might level out. He might fluctuate between 350 and 500 bucks, but every time he gets healthy...
I think the risk profile here is now just so much more.
Yeah. Well, there's no other scenario here. There's no if he had of, he keeps getting injured. We can't really bank on anything.
So. And I think what you were talking about then with his decrease in the last 6 months, I do wonder if that's just a continuation of that, just down.
Mm.
I think where, to me, is going to be more intriguing to watch, I think the silver PSA 10s are played out, is when you look at his other cards, his on-card autographs, his RPAs. Maybe you can look at some of his cheaper RPAs and see if that's something that's, you know, worth buying to. I don't think you need to dump your entire collection, but I think something like this...
Yeah. Changes the...
It's going to be going down. I don't think it's going to be going up in the next 6 months. So, and look, maybe in 6 months' time we can revisit this and it's going to be at a point where it's so cheap and you go, actually, this is actually quite a nice little buy. So
yeah. I think this is one of those things where we wish we were wrong.
Oh, definitely. This doesn't make me happy at all.
Yeah, no.
No, I hope I didn't come off as saying that.
No, not at all. Pause line.
Let's go for our first commercial break and music break ad.
Yeah, let's do it.
This next ad break is brought to you by Slambox, Australia's best value basketball repacks. Visit www.slambox.com.au to check out the latest series or join the Slambox Facebook page and message them directly. Slambox features big name autos including Giannis, Zion, LaMelo, Banchero, Chet, Ja, Tatum, and more. Super short prints, case hits from a variety of different products including National Treasures, Flawless, Noir, Immaculate, Impeccable, and more. Slambox has different tiered product levels to cater for all budget levels and collector preferences. Thank you, Slambox, for your support. And we are back.
We are indeed. Shall we go across to the Eastern Conference and look at their play-in games?
Absolutely.
It was a lot closer than I thought it would be, the Miami-Philly game. So Philadelphia, the run continues. The resurgence of Joel Embiid.
Yep.
Playing himself into form. 23 points, 15 boards in it, leading the Sixers. In a 105-104 victory over the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
I don't think the story is on this side of the floor. It's nice to see the Sixers up in the seventh seed. I think that matchup against New York is going to be very interesting. But the unfortunate news is that Jimmy Butler looks to have injured himself. And the early reports are it could be an MCL.
So I'm just looking through the box score at the moment and just trying to pick out some things that has taken my eye. The two things that's really taken my eye is Embiid's shooting numbers. So he was not fantastic from the field, but 2 from 4 from three and then 9 from 10 from the free throw line. So I think that is what really saved his line there. The other thing too is if you look at the minutes spread across the Sixers, it's almost like they've got their playoff team already in stone. So they've got their starters. The lowest starters minutes is Kyle Lowry at 28, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Then you go to the bench, only 4 people checked in. Paul Reed at 9 minutes.
Yep.
Nicholas Batum at 27. Buddy Hield at 17. And then Cameron Payne paid 3 minutes. Like, it's barely even a cameo, isn't it? So
yeah. Yeah.
Look, I really like Philadelphia. And I think if you are looking at a team to do something this playoffs who's not that high in the seedings, this to me is probably the team to look at. If they're healthy, there's a lot of upside here.
I think if Joel Embiid doesn't get injured, they're the 2 seed.
Yeah.
So we'll see how in form Embiid can get. But Miami do get a second chance. The question is, without Jimmy Butler, how good is that chance going to be?
So who do they play in the play-in game now?
The other game today was Chicago and Atlanta, and it was the Chicago Bulls.
Right, okay. So, yeah, they can definitely beat the Bulls without Jimmy Butler. I don't think that's an issue at all. Hero to get, say, 30 or 35.
Yep. And Alex Caruso went down in that one, unfortunately.
Yeah.
With an injury. That said, Kobe White dropped 42. That's impressive.
When he gets going, he can definitely get hot like that. But, yep. I mean, let's be honest here. The Atlanta Hawks aren't exactly a defensively
proficient. Defensive light.
Yeah. You know, yes. They've got a couple of guys that can play D, but there's not a lot going on there. Yep. Hey, I do have a hot take for you, and this is probably about the hottest take that I'm going to cook up for quite a long time.
Yep.
Matchup in the East is the Bucks and the Pacers. Now, I've been ranting and raving about Haliburton all year, but hear me out for 2 seconds. There's not a lot of teams that can hang 150, 157 points on teams, and the Pacers can do it. And they can. I think they can do it twice in a series. I don't think that's even controversial. Where I think they're walking into a really good situation, and I'd put the Sacramento Kings in the same sort of thing too. They're not going to be playing a Bucks team at full strength. Giannis is out, and there's no real indication of when Giannis is coming back. So you can interpret this. What I'm saying is, you can say, "Oh, it's gambling advice." Please, do not take my gambling advice. I am as good as Jonte Porter, and we're going to be talking.
About we're going to get onto that one, yes, for sure.
I don't fix games, but I am as good at betting is what Jonte Porter is. But I think in terms of picking an upset and then sort of pairing it as to why that could happen, like, I really think that they're going to be a very difficult matchup for the Bucks without Giannis. So if Haliburton plays well, I'm all in on this sort of huge upset coming out of the East, to be honest. So
I have not got faith in the Bucks to get the job done, that's for sure.
Yeah, they've been quite tumultuous really since Doc's taken over, and This might be probably the worst matchup in the East for them, to be honest.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. If they don't have a healthy, because they've done it in playoff runs before without a healthy Giannis. What do you do?
I do agree with that, but I don't think they've come into a team quite like the Pacers. Like, when they're on.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, the Bucks have lost Grayson Allen. They gave up a lot of their defensive identity to be the team they are, and they're not great at the moment. So, I don't have high hopes for the Bucks in that matchup.
All right, I said this to you off the air. If I go on too much about this, just cut me off. But Jonte Porter, we have to talk about this.
We do. I kind of glanced over it a little bit. I didn't read too much into it. I'm like, oh, here we go. Another idiot.
There is a lot of content on this at the moment, and it's very, very early days. So for me, I'm going to be watching this with quite like an eagle eye. So I'm very interested in this. So
you'd call it a precedent case, wouldn't you?
You can call it a lot of different things. And if you want to call it a precedent case, I will definitely go with that. But in a lot of ways, there is precedence for this. So obviously we've got the Tim Donahue referee situation.
Yeah. And they've only just allowed betting back though. That's like a lot of the gambling, like in the US, Vegas has only just recently been...
I think we need to preface this that people have always gambled, but now they've legalized and regulated it so that it's something that is basically now coming into the public eye a lot more in terms of advertising in arenas. And then obviously, if you're an NBA League Pass person, like, now the odds are built into your League Pass. Like, that's something that's a new experience for people. So, Look, so Jonte Porter is... A two-way, he was a two-way player for the Toronto Raptors, so he wasn't even a full rostered and salaried NBA player. So I think that's a really good place for us to start.
Good place to.
And the reason why that is a good place to start is because his total salary for that year is $400,000. So one of the bets where he came on done was is he was betting on his total points, rebounds, and assist line. The line was 12. Now, if you're personally asking me, I think it's ridiculous that you would set it at 12 for Jonte Porter in the first place. Mm-hmm. But what he was doing was he was putting huge bets on himself on these lines. And then he would enter into the game and then say, oh, I'm sick, or I've got like an eye injury or something like that. So there was three incidences when that happened. And the reason why that it was highlighted is because each time that these huge bets were going to be paying out, so they're paying out basically for $1 million each,
mm-hmm.
it was also the same time that he coincidentally was, you know, sick or unable to go through. So I've tried to reference a lot of what I'm saying the best I can, but to be honest, the video that this next part I'm about to say, I do apologize to the person who created this content, but I didn't actually write it down, and it was a video that was in like a scrolling sort of feed, so I couldn't go back to it.
Yeah.
And this was a common thing that happened in the 80s in tennis, and that's also how they discovered players who were match fixing in tennis. So they would play the first innings or whatever it's called in tennis,
and first
then
set.
They would say, oh, I've pulled my hamstring or whatever, and then they'll go out. But see, the thing is, if you don't go out and play 1 minute or one game, the bet gets nullified, whereas and that's how they get around and do the match fixing with it. So this particular Jonte Porter thing, that's exactly how they pulled it up. So now the guys on First Take were talking about this, and they were saying, oh, it's funny how when casinos are paying out, that's when they'll go back and get their money back and not paid out. And one of the bets they didn't pay out, they actually cancelled the Jonte Porter bet. And then they're also saying too, well, you know, if you're losing your money, they'll extend your hotel and get you to keep coming back. So don't think like I'm being a casinos here. Like I'll paint both sides of this. But one thing that, and I'm going to strongly emphasize this, the reason why I think regulated gambling is good is because now when stuff like this happens, they've got measures in place. That's right. To actually pick this stuff up. So like I'm all for this. And so not only am I all for this, I love a good conspiracy theory. So I can't wait to, you know, hear about what all comes out for this. So the NBA is saying, oh, he bet on himself to win, and then all three, no, sorry, he bet on himself to lose, and all three of those games that he bet, only those three games that he bet on to lose, they won all three of them. So that was a joke that I was making before about me betting like Jonte Porter. So
yeah,
I find that so difficult to believe, because, and actually I'm almost having flashbacks to the Donahue story where they're like, oh, there was only three games that he fixed and that he influenced. I'm like, I am 100% certain that Donahue influenced, you know, more than 100 games, right?
Yeah, for sure. And same as
this same as this Jonte Porter guy, you know, like, okay, fine, there's only three games that they can, you know,
evidently, like, say, for sure.
You bet on these three, and there was no real harm because, you know, you actually didn't win money, you know, you lost money. And they're saying here that in total he only won $21,000. I don't believe that for 2 seconds. You know, I think maybe they can tie to him $21,000 and that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, if you're, as soon as you're doing something, and I get it, if you go, put a long shot bet on and you win, a casino is probably going to go, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But if a bookmaker's like this one person that puts bets on,
yeah,
constantly hits long shots, that's the anomaly alarm.
And, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And with betting accounts, it's all tracked. Like, your individual history is tracked and monitored. So,
yeah.
And they do have, like, they have these internal alerts and things that would come up if there are irregularities into your betting patterns, into what you're betting on. Like, it's not the brightest of thing to, like, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to bet on yourself anyway.
Part of the
player code of conduct.
They can't bet full stop.
Yeah.
And a lot of the betting goes through their friends' accounts. So that's the other thing that they do too.
Yeah.
So taking this back to the Shohei Ohtani thing, I don't think we actually spoke about this on the show last week. I had it in the run sheet and we didn't do it, but that's part of the Shohei thing, is that was it his... So he alleges that it was his interpreter that did all the bets without his knowledge, right? Like $50 million out of his account, which is, again, complete nonsense. But that's the same thing, right? So they weren't using Shohei's account. They were using the interpreter's.
Yeah.
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 So I think we should turn this gambling into cards, which is, you know, what we are. We are a card show after all. So if you go to 130 point at the moment, the action on Jonte Porter's cards is like, is hot right now. Every couple of minutes, one of his cards is selling. So he doesn't have pro stuff. He has Prism draft picks.
Yeah.
And he has contenders draft picks, and he's got some iMac collegiate stuff. But
why are people buying his cards?
Well, so this is what I was going to put to you. Like, you know, are we buy, hold, or selling Jonte Porter at the moment? Like, are these going to go down in infamy almost?
Sell.
These cards? Sell. Yeah. Well, yeah.
He'd probably make more than he did.
Maybe that's what people are doing. There's dumping them off at the moment. But there's also people buying them too. You know, there's some interest in this space. So.
I'd be interested to know why people are buying it.
I think just a morbid curiosity, man.
It's a quirky thing, right? Totally. It's always the story behind the card. So.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's like how people go out and buy serial killer memorabilia and stuff like that. I think this is the same thing. This is
the Mark Jackson and all right. Yep.
It's
all right,
sports notoriety type stuff.
Yep. It's a quirky card.
So his Nike patch number to 5 iMac card.
Yeah.
Looks like on card autograph from here. That sold for $50. Like, that's not pocket change even.
No. That's like, what the hell?
For a kid who's never coming back. Yeah.
Lifetime ban. That has meaning. It's see if they reverse the decision.
There is no way he's coming back.
No, there's not. That's what I mean by being a precedent case though. Like, I definitely think they're making an example of it, and a very big example of it, to go, we don't tolerate this.
Yeah.
This is not acceptable. And if you get caught, forget being involved in sports again.
And I think if we're being honest here too, I think he's the perfect person to make an example with. Like, let's just say, let's use Ja Morant for an example. And I'm not alleging Ja has ever made a single bet, but let's be realistic here. The stuff that he got up to in the last couple of years was maybe worse than what Jonte Porter did. Like,
Look, I'm not going to disagree there. They're different, but they're definitely code of conduct. They have very serious
different crimes. No doubt. Okay, so let me use another example. Then that probably wasn't a great one. What if somebody was not quite an all-star, but say played in the rookie sophomore game, so they were a good young and up-and-coming player, and they made the same bets as Jonte Porter did, and they were on a full NBA contract. Do you think that same player would be suspended, would be banned for life?
Yep.
Really?
You've got to.
I don't think they will be.
You reckon they'd be on like a one-year suspension and good behavior plans and...
Okay, so again, I'm putting my conspiracy hat back on here. Like, you can tell how much I'm loving this, right?
Yeah.
So Jordan took a break, and I'm using air quotes on this. Google Michael Jordan gambling conspiracy. Uh-oh. There is so many different theories about this guy betting on golf, betting millions of dollars in casinos, and there's stories about him staying out all night, you know, smoking cigars.
I know he was a degenerate gambler, but I didn't think he ever bet on basketball.
No, I'm not alleging that, but
yeah.
There is all sorts of theories about there of why he took a year off from basketball and went and played baseball. Some people say, you know, he was bereaved. Ooh. And some people say he was actually asked to step away from the game, get your gambling debts under control, and then come back. And
wow. Okay.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying to you. Like, yes, this is a good precedent, but also there has been other precedents in basketball, like some pretty good ones too. So, plus or minus Jordan, we've got the Donahue one, and then I don't think they will ban for life a really good player. I think they'll give them, you know, suspension.
So if Luka came out and
let's use Luka as an example. He would get half a year. He would get 41 games.
Yeah. Interesting.
All right, let's take our second break of the day, and
that wasn't too long. That wasn't too long at all. That was good.
We're past halfway of the show, so
we did well.
Oh, sorry, I see what you're saying.
For the Jonte Porter.
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah, let's take a break. Good idea.
Let's hear from our friends at The Bang Man. The Bang Man, our proud sponsor to the podcast. Thank you so much to Team Bang Man for your ongoing support. April Bronze Edition is out. It is absolutely loaded. Value galore here. The highlight of this month's Bronze Edition is 5 different rookie classes. That's right. You have the opportunity to hit top rookies out of 5 different rookie classes. And this is absolutely packed. Prism, Select, Mosaic, Optic, Flux, Hoops Premium, Donruss. Bronze packs are predominantly retail products, so Blasters, Megas, T-Mall is what you're looking at here. But in terms of a fun rip, you cannot go past this. $129 delivered. There is no room for a promo code on this because it's so jam-packed full of value. Contact Team Bangman on Facebook or Instagram and they will hook you up. Thank you, Team Bangman. We are back. So let us just do a couple of minutes. We don't need to do a lot of time on this, but version 2.1 of the All-Star voting spreadsheet is now up.
And more goodies.
I filled it out from, I think, about 20 to 33, and I predominantly did West Conference guards. So Russell Westbrook has been added in. Klay Thompson has been added in. So why don't we start with Klay Thompson? And then at the very, very tippity top, this is something new for us to start looking at, is doing some of the old school players. So I thought the easiest one to go with is the GOAT, so Michael Jordan. So we were discussing Klay Thompson earlier in the piece. His last sold for $3,000 USD. Population on that is 96. And when I say population, I think moving forward, we can just flatten this out and just say it once. This is the total population, not just the PSA or BGS. It's the combined.
That's the combined gem rate.
Gem rate.
Yep. Gem, number of gems. So BGS 9.5s and 10s.
Why don't we PSA, just call it gem rate?
The gem rate.
Or is that not really
gems? The right? It's the gems.
Total gems.
Pop. No. Yeah, yeah. Do you know gem, who we need to, the gem pop?
We need to consult Ryan on this because I feel like if we're using his proprietary brand, this also might cause some copyrights. I don't want to end up.
We call
in court
it the gem
Ryan.
Pop. It sounds like we're in prison.
I don't want to be in some legal courtroom with Judge Judy and Ryan. That would just be my fantasies coming true.
The episode of Jerry terrible. Springer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Jerry, rest in peace. Anyway, market cap 288,000 on that. So look, I was actually saying without looking at his numbers, maybe this guy's got a bit more room to grow. Actually, that's way higher than what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So any of the new ones that I've added in caught your eye?
Ja Morant's expected.
So when you say expected, total gems is 2,825. So we're getting into...
Yeah. Jar's the Zion class, right? So there were so many cards graded.
Yeah. And his market cap is 1.1 million.
Yeah.
So I think where I find this more interesting is maybe the sub $200 value on the card.
Well, so I was looking at Austin Reeves and Paolo Banchero.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So if you take a quick sort of scan through that, you got Donovan Mitchell in there.
Yeah.
You've got Jalen Brown and you've got Paul George. They're kind of technicalities. They're both sitting at 190, so there's always going to be some fluctuation there. Yeah, Paulo, you can put into that.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox is now in that sub $200 range.
Yeah.
And his population is much higher than what I was expecting, so his total gems is 985. But yeah, I think Austin Reeves is one to sort of take a look at because, yeah, sitting at $108 in terms of his popularity, 468,000 votes,
and
just 65 total population on that. So
yeah,
market cap for Austin Reeves is 6,000. It's less than $7,000. I like that one, actually. I think that's maybe a bit of a nugget just sort of sitting there. I think the question around Austin Reeves is actually his highest price going to be $100? Because
Yeah, like the kid's got skills.
Yeah,
he played for Team USA, but he hasn't got the call up for Team USA. If that makes does that being a bit rough?
No, I think Team USA, Team B. I'm totally down with Austin Reeves, but let's be honest. If they sent their full team, maybe
this isn't the team that's going to try and win the FIBA World Cup. This is the Olympics. So we're sending. Yeah, I mean we can deep dive the USA team a bit later, but yeah. Maybe next week or as we get when we get low on content. but yeah, I think Austin Reeves is a good player, but currently he's number 3, maybe even 4 on a roster.
Yeah.
Right? So you got LeBron, AD. Is he number 3? is he the number three guy, or is D'Angelo number three guy, kind of, do you know? Like
the way D'Angelo Russell's playing at the moment.
D'Lo's number three at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I like that. That's like maybe that 100 and 108 is the right thing. But the pop count on it says maybe it's one to watch.
All right. Let's go right to the top. So Michael Jordan, obviously he's not going to have any All-Star votes for this year. Although I'm actually surprised there isn't a vote for him.
Bit of a market cap there. Yeah.
So he's obviously, it's not a silver, but it's his rookie card. So we're talking about the Fleer rookie card. Last sold for $210,000 US.
Yep.
Total gem population 906. Market cap of 190 million. So, you know, some days I think, you know, why are we doing this? You know, why are we speculating? Why are we buying all these cards? And I think this is the end game, isn't it? Is that maybe that you buy something will end up and
is that what we're hoping to get from the Wembies?
You know, I think this is the dirty secret or the thing that people don't like to talk about or admit. You know, at the back of your mind, is there always that thought process in your head that you are buying something that's undervalued and will go up?
I think there's always an expectation that you're investing in something that is going to appreciate in value. Yeah.
And even if you don't want to admit it and you don't want to talk about it, I think that is a very visually imposing number when it's $190 million on a single card in terms of its, you know, market cap. So
it's a lot of money in one card.
Yeah. Look, I don't think we go on too much about this week. I think we just keep it nice and short and sweet. Any final thoughts on version 2.1?
I'm liking the evolution. I'm liking the evolution of the sheet. Maybe the D'Angelo Russell, that'll be an interesting one to fill out as well.
I think some of these will be more interesting when it's topical. So
yeah, Josh, well, that's why I'm looking at like Jamal Murray is going to be relevant soon because it's the playoffs. D'Angelo, playoffs as well. Giddy, same deal. I mean, Fred VanVleet might be in a couple of years, might be interesting. Some of them aren't relevant at the moment, but we'll see. Yeah.
VanVleet's going to be a bit of a tricky one, similar to, say, Paul George, where he doesn't have, actually even more difficult than Paul George because he doesn't have a rookie card at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Next in the run sheet is WNBA. So, look, we have to talk about this. Maybe if the playoffs didn't happen and Jonte Porter didn't happen this week, we would have led with this. Like, this is, in my mind,
it's pretty big news.
It's a big story, yeah, because, and I think, actually, I'll lead with this. Has your social media had more WNBA on it the last
2 days?
In the last 2 days? Okay, you've seen more. Okay, great. So it's not just well, for me, I've been getting more, I'll say, the last couple of months, but
There's been a little bit of stuff for Caitlin Clark. Yeah. But there's stuff outside of, there was the whole draft. So I was given updates. I was like different videos. My reels were getting filled with other news.
Yeah.
I mean, the LA Sparks got two of the top four picks. So that was lovely. None of them were Caitlin Clark, of course, but
yeah. It's really the year you want, isn't it? To get number one.
Yeah. Not 2 and 4. That doesn't seem good. But yeah, so, like she also, what did you see the first reel that showed up in my news feed was, look at the comparison between Caitlin Clark's outfit and LeBron James. I'm like, that's a stretch.
Do you think she was trying to impersonate him?
What, they both wore cream or white? Like, wow, of all the colors, what a coincidence. Like, what?
You don't think?
No.
Okay.
LeBron didn't wear a skirt. She didn't wear trousers. It's not the same outfit.
Maybe it's like the female version of, I don't know. Look,
it was such a stretch. It was such a stretch. I kind of had a chuckle, but I think that she deserves the spotlight. It shouldn't be a comparison with anybody. Is my thought about it.
So yeah, Caitlin Clark went number one. Cameron Brink went number two. The 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon on Cameron Brink is that she's a godson or god cousin of Steph Curry. There's some relation between those two.
There's a relationship with the Curry family.
Yeah. Anyway.
Cool.
I could have done that segment a lot better. Look, I think, and then after that, I need to read up more about this, but Angel Reese at 7, I think that was the other surprise that was there.
Yeah.
There was some expectation she might have gone a little bit higher, but she dropped down to 7. So for the Chicago Sky, that's a massive pickup because they also had number 3 in the draft too. So great little draft day for them. Then I think Let's just start talking about Caitlin Clark. So this is from our friend at Darren Rovell.
Yep.
Just in 2 hours after being picked, Caitlin Clark became Fnatic's top-selling draft pick in any draft night history. She surpassed Trevor Lawrence in 2021. So basically, they had pre-printed her Indiana jersey.
Wow.
Like her pro jersey with anticipation.
Yeah.
And then every unit in every size had sold out. So then after the lot had been exhausted, they were just selling like basically pre-fills and pre-orders. So, you know, I think...
Wow.
I think there
are
some
people... It's a big deal. It's very...
There's some people that are just important culturally and, you know, whether you can explain it or not. And I'm probably in the part of, you know, not being able to explain it. But the part that I, now that I have a daughter, that I understand very clearly is that boys can relate to girls and girls can relate to boys. But there is something special about a female athlete in the eyes of a young lady. So I think there's that part of it, which I think is going to be, you know, you're going to see, as you see young boys walking around with Steph Curry's, I think that's what the next evolution is going to be. You're going to see Caitlin Clark jerseys being walking around by, you know, kids in the street, which I think is kind of really exciting. So I think the next one, you know, really I want to talk about too is the shoe deal that she got. And this is the one that, because look, I do wear jerseys, but I don't have a big jersey collection. That's not really my thing. But
yeah.
So she signed on with Nike. She signed an 8-figure shoe deal. The actual number hasn't revealed, but 8 figures is still 8 figures. So we're talking some congratulations money on that, Caitlin. And this is the thing that I'm starting to froth over. I could see myself in a nice pair of Caitlin Clark shoes.
It's pretty...
And the same thing for young girls, you know? I think they're going to go out and want these shoes. They're going to be asking their parents, I want a pair of Caitlin Clarks. Yeah.
I've got friends that they're like a lot of friends whose daughters play junior basketball, and this is... You know what I mean? Like sure. They're going to be... They'd all love a pair of Kobe's or LeBron's or KD's or whatever they're getting, but I reckon the fact that someone like Caitlin Clark is now going to have a shoe range.
Yeah.
Those young aspiring female basketballers are going to be like, you know what? I want a pair of those. I want to wear what she's wearing.
And hear me out for a second. Instead of putting that money in terms of placement of product into shops for Ja Morant, replace that with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of image, in terms of role modeling, all that type of stuff. Mm. And look, I'm not piling on Ja here, but, you know, facts is facts. He hasn't been exactly... you know, a shining star here, whereas Caitlin Clark, on the other hand, is barely put a foot wrong. Yeah, so...
You've got a point, yeah.
I can actually see myself walking into the Nike store in Melbourne and seeing a picture of Caitlin Clark in the future. That's where I'm at with this, so... Yeah. This next bit is also from Darren Rovell. So Darren has contributed significantly to this. This Caitlin Clark card sold for $23,600 today. It is the Bowman University Constellations of Greatness card, PSA 10. Now, the comments on this card is actually a little bit, you could argue, unkind, but some of the narrative that's being pointed out here is that it's the timing of the sale, so perfectly timed with the WNBA draft.
Mm.
And some people saying that this is going to go down to like a 5K card. I got to tell you, I probably... lean towards the conservative side when it comes to stuff like this. Like if I'm dropping 23K, I want to make sure it's, you know, 100% the right thing. So I'm probably leaning towards this card will depreciate in value. But in saying that, the buzz around WNBA is absolutely growing.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be, I'm trying not to use the word interesting. To me, it's going to be very fascinating to see how the next 2 years plays out with WNBA, because the last 2 years...
There's growth. There's a lot of growth.
Right. Like, if we're being honest here, you can go out to any card retailer and they will probably have most products of WNBA on special and you'll be able to get a really good deal. Like, a few weeks ago, we spoke about the $5 blasters. Mm-hmm. This is not even a hot take. I'm just going to go on the record and say there's going to be no discounting Caitlin Clark product that she's in. And particularly, there's going to be no discount on anything that's rookie product of her. So they're talking about making Prism, Revo... They're talking about making Origins again with her in it. None of that stuff is going to be on discount. You know, I think that's going to be... Frankly, I think they're going to jack it up just to, you know...
Make their money back?
Yeah, when they can. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Another notable sale for WNBA. This is the last WNBA thing, and I'll let you guys off the hook for this. But again, I think this is relevant. So this is maybe what you consider one of the more OGs of the WNBA. So this is Sue Bird, a 2002 Authentics recently sold, and that sold for $7,000. Population of this is 2. The card is numbered to 100. This is called the front row card. So we were talking about the front row cards and the courtside cards. With, you remember that Kobe card we were talking about a while back? It's exactly the same thing with that. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Look, I'm surprised about this, to be honest with you. In my head, I don't really see this much money when it comes to WNBA cards, but maybe the tides are turning a little bit here, and people are actually starting to catch on and say, you know, there is some collectability here. So if you're an OG NBA, WNBA fan, you know, I think this is really, really great news for you. And there's definitely going to be trickle down with this. So,
yeah, I completely agree. I think we are in a supply and demand market.
Absolutely.
And we might just be witnessing a shift in demand.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. No. So maybe 20 episodes back or so, I was tossing up the idea about prospecting through the G League, and I think really the best way to summarize that is a complete failure. I think there's enough there's enough players in the NBA to low-end prospect on. Like, so in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Herb Jones for a couple of dollars. We spoke about Malachi Flynn that just got a 50 ball for a couple of dollars. Like, why do you need to you know, prospect out of the big leagues when you've got stuff like that happening? Look, I'm not going to give up on this because I think this next one is probably still, you know, worth talking about. So Usman Deng, who is, I mean, look, really, if you think about it, this makes a whole lot of sense. He's an OKC player who's on a two-way contract.
Yeah.
Like, that OKC team is absolutely loaded. He is also now the G League MVP.
Yep.
So, look, there's only so long you're going to be able to keep this kid down, where I think his agent will force a trade in the offseason now. Like, he has to be in the NBA full-time next year. I think if you're that young and the MVP of a very, very competitive men's pro league, you know, you deserve a spot in there. So I thought it'd be good to talk about him in terms of prospecting.
Yeah.
Look, he's not on Card Ladder. It's quite difficult to find, you know, specific comps on this guy, but I did find a nice little range there. So if you click that next link down, it should take you to a picture.
The second one. Oh, the sales. There we go.
Yeah. So a Donruss autographed card that sold for $60. His Prism rookie card number to 49 for 114. So we're not talking pocket change here. There is definitely some interest in this guy.
Yeah.
Immaculate jersey numbered 5 of 16. It's a jumbo patch. That's the best way to describe that one. $34.
Okay.
Vertical flawless RPA number to 15, $111. And this is probably where I'm going to stop, because this is the one where I think this is where you take a risk on someone like this. When you can get a vertical flawless RPA for $100, you know, I think that's a really, really fantastic purchase. And I think particularly too, if you're talking about someone that, you know, you want to take a risk on here, like, this is still a very high risk purchase, but I think, you know, what's the point of buying a Prism card when you can get a flawless card actually for $3 cheaper, you know, frankly. So I think, you know, we talk about making shrewd purchases. I've actually got real no problem with someone who bought that Prism card that's PSA 10 number to 49. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. But if I had the choice between those two, and, you know, clearly those cards sold on the same day.
Yeah.
You know, you do have a choice. So that's where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Are you buying Usman Deng?
Yeah, you're right. For $100, if you can get an RPA of someone that's proven to be good at one level, which and young, why not?
So I feel like I've done really well on eBay in the last, say, 12 months on case hits, like cheap case hits. So, for example, Donruss next day autographs.
Yeah.
Vertical RPAs out of NT. I got a Dalen Terry for, I think it was about $25 delivered. Like, it was, you know, really not much. Do I think that these cards are going to be part of my retirement fund? Absolutely not.
Of course not.
Do I think these cards are really good to look at and have sort of in your background to sort of low-key prospect on? Fantastic. Do I think they make amazing traders? They make amazing trading cards, because you might find someone who PCs that person and they're willing to give up overs on it, you know, for you to...
Yeah.
So, you know, those people that are doing that thing, oh, I'm trading up from a card to, you know, $1 to $300. Like, I'm not doing that project, but it's nice to trade up, you know, when I can. So you know, I like it for that type of stuff.
Yeah, I for mean, sure.
Usman Deng, in this very specific example that I'm asking you, do I like this as a prospect? I don't mind that at all. For $111, whoever bought that.
And well, there's plus, an accolade. Plus, there's plus. An accolade to go with it. There's shown, there's demonstrated potential.
Potential
to work for. Yeah.
Oozing out of this kid. And I think, like, let's be honest here too. I think if he wasn't on the OKC Thunder, he would be in the NBA playing. It's the fact is that team is so loaded. They released Prokochevsky for nothing.
Yeah.
After spending a first round pick on him. And they've still got what, another 25 first round picks coming.
They've got so many picks
coming out of
places that they shouldn't have picks coming out of. Yeah.
Yeah. Next topic is about a new release, which is Origins. And have you seen much of it?
No. Let's have a look.
I've watched a couple of breaks on it, and I think Origins is really good for what it is at the price point. And I think that's the best way to say it. So Origins is, it's not super basey like what Prism is. There's only 10 or so cards in a box.
Yeah.
And really what you're hunting for out of this is the on-card autographs and then the RPAs. I think if you're trying to pick faults in a product, well, it's not game worn, so that can be problematic in some people's eyes. But in terms of the aesthetics of it, it's mostly sort of dark designs.
And there are some on-card autos, aren't there?
On-card autograph, yes,
yeah.
But not player-worn memorabilia in the patches. Okay. So you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the on-card autographs are definitely part of the chase, but at the same time, I think it sort of puts some people off. But
yeah.
I think where Origins has really stamped itself in terms of collectability and in particular breaks is this the price point. So basically you're looking at around say $600 or $700 AUD for a box.
Yeah.
And you know, breaking that out, you can buy into it for, you know, sub $1,000. Whereas when you're looking at iMac, you're looking at NT, even Noir, for example, it's not that much more expensive than Court King. So maybe that's actually a better conversation piece for us to have is, would you rather buy into a Court King's break or would you rather buy into an Origins break? Because, you know, in terms of...
Yeah, the chase. And I guess it comes down to the chase as well. It's what you're actually looking for.
I think, yeah, that's right. And card design too. I think you really need to take that into account when, you know, you're going into it. Look, I got to be honest with you. I think for the price point, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I think the issue is if the price goes too much higher, then I think all of the value that's there actually does, you know, sort of go away. So that's where I feel like I'm repeating myself 10 times here, so I'm not going to say it again, but that's where I really like this product.
Yeah, the pro. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like if it goes outside of its price point,
yeah,
then it's a problem, right? Then it's definitely. no longer, it no longer has the draw that it used to.
Yeah. I like it for the on-card autographs. I think those are actually, you know, quite, for lack of a better word, special. But in terms of if I was picking between two products, I hate to say it, I think I'd probably go for Court Kings because the memorabilia stuff is aesthetically pleasing and it looks good. But in terms of the collectability, I do have a nagging thought in the back of my head. Where is all this memorabilia stuff going to be in 10 years when it's not game-worn, it's not player-associated? How are people going to look back on this in 10 years?
It'll be interesting.
I don't know the answer to it.
What I'm curious about is how this looks in the market if there's a decline. So do they start going back to... Do Fnatic start buying game-worn jerseys to try and manufacture game-worn product again?
So I don't want to be a pessimist here, but if we're using tops as a current measuring stick, I think the answer is no. Because Fnatic's...
The only way that changes is the market turns.
Yeah.
If the buyers stop buying the product. And that doesn't... I don't think that's going to happen, to be honest. But...
Can I be honest with you? I actually wonder if there's more to this memorabilia story than what the average collector knows. And I'm including myself in that average collector statement too, because...
We're going to full have a conspiracy episode, I'll tell you what.
No, that's fine. I don't think this is a conspiracy. Like, I think so. During COVID, obviously things changed. I don't think that's
a lot
controversial to say, but
nope.
That to me was really the tipping point between game worn memorabilia being more common in products than not. And so, you know, there has to be an explanation for that. One explanation is that the demand for cards went up a lot. Okay, that's fine. I acknowledge that. The other explanation could be they say, well, actually, the risk profile is too high for us to be getting jerseys off the athletes and to handle them in a safe and clean way. I'm fine with that too. But all of that has now changed. And has something else changed in this equation that we just don't see? So whether the price of jerseys is too high, they can't justify putting it in. Is it that the players don't want to do it anymore? They don't want to stand there and put on a jersey and take it off and put it up. And allegedly, that's what people used to do at events. They would stand there and put on 200 different pieces of clothing. And then now this thing is now
game one.
Or game one. That's right. Yeah. So maybe they can't convince players to do that stuff anymore. Maybe that's also, you know, part of this. I think we're using the early measuring stick of Fanatics and Tops. No, I don't think it's going to be a home run that NBA is going to have game one material as soon as Fanatics takes over. No,
does that increase the older stuff? Does that make the older stuff that was actually play like?
So some stuff that is in now. So veteran, I saw a really nice Origins patch come out from the Lakers. That was number 25. It had a 3-color. It was a LeBron James Lakers patch.
Yeah,
like that is game one. So the veteran stuff is. It's just the rookie stuff. They still haven't paired that out yet. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Should we do our last ad break?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Thank you to our friends EJ Cards for your ongoing support and sponsorship for our show. EJ Cards are a specialty card shop located in 394 to 398 Middleborough Road in Blackburn, Victoria. You can also find them at www.ejcards.com.au, where you'll find a whole range of sports cards, NBA, soccer, cricket, UFC, USA football, baseball, racing, WWE, supplies, and mystery packs, which is something they're really very much known for. The Carson mystery packs for Pokemon, Rimps mystery packs, soccer mystery packs. They've got Japanese Pokemon mystery packs at the moment too. So check out their website for that. Also go to Facebook, EJ Sports Breaks, where you'll find Jules ripping wax for you almost every single day. For listeners of the show, we have a promo code, which you'll find in the podcast description. Any orders over $50 get free express shipping. Thank you, EJ Cards, for your support. We are back. I think I just wanted to add one more part to that advertisement. EJ Cards have just advertised today Carson's Pokemon packets for $14.99. So if you go onto their website, you can pick them up. The other thing too is go to our Facebook page and to our pinned post. You'll find a promotion code there for free postage.
Oh, nice.
On over $50. So my maths is right here. You can buy 4 of Carson's Pokemon packets and get free shipping. So definitely check out EJ Cards. They've been supporting us.
Value.
Yep. For years now.
For years, literally. Yeah, they've been on board for ages.
Yep. So why don't we just quick hit these last few things here? We don't need to go on forever about them. Let's just talk about some cards, basically.
Cool.
Carmelo Anthony, exquisite rookie patch, BGS 9.5 versus a Dwayne Wade, BGS 7.
Oh, we've got a versus. Oh, what would you take? Hang on, for those playing at home on the video. All right. Oh, it's a BGS 7 of the Wade versus a BGS 9.5 on the Melo. Ooh, I take the Melo, the higher grade.
This is so easy for me. It's not funny. I'm going the Wade all day.
Really?
Till Sunday. 100%. I just think his career was so dynamic. And he played so well in that finals when it was he and Shaq.
Yeah.
It almost, a bit like Zion today, it just felt like he was just walking to the rim and no one can get in front of him. So the other thing for me too is I think Carmelo is an amazing scorer, but he was also really the epitome of scored and then the rest of the basketball game, you know, just wasn't really there. And I think my sort of recollection of his career was, for me, how you summarize it in one line was that relationship he had with George Karl. George Karl was always saying, this guy's like the best guy in basketball, but he just needs to do this, this, and this. And he could never...
He can never do this, this, and this. Yeah, that,
you know, part. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
These next two are, frankly, for you, Ad. So I hope you like these next couple ones. So this is a Noir Kobe Spotlight Signatures.
Yes.
117 of 125. Look, There are some cards in Noir that just hit right, and I'm going to put that front and center into that hitting right.
Yeah, that signature. Yeah, yeah. The Spotlight signatures. That's yeah, that's a beautiful card. It's one that I've wanted.
Oh, really? So you've seen that before?
Yeah. I remember. I was collecting Noir the year that one came out. I'm pretty sure. 16, 17. Yep. I was in a few of those breaks. Didn't get one. Bit sad.
This next is from Card Ladder again. So sold on Goldens for 54,931, numbered to just 2. National Treasures Logoman, the Colossal Logoman, in fact.
Mm.
So why do you think this card sold for 54K? Because I think it's a beautiful card. You know, obviously standing there, obvious low numbered. It's got that nice logo in there. Obviously, it's Kobe Bryant, but maybe in my head, this is a $25,000 card. What am I missing?
Well, it's not even the fact that it's not even a one of one. Do you know what I mean? Like,
No autograph.
No autograph. Maybe it's just because it was sold on Golden. Maybe there was somebody. Do you know what I mean? Maybe there are three people that want this card.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Maybe there's two people out there that would. Beating each other up, yeah.
It's like, the other one is unobtainable. I need this one.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are a few very passionate Kobe collectors out there.
Alrighty.
Oh, and we missed out one of our did we do Butler versus Embiid? I don't think we did. When we were talking about Miami and Philly. I like this one because it's based in the playoffs.
Okay, sure. Why don't we finish the show off with this one then? That's more interesting than the Duncan insert anyway, to be honest.
Okay. So both PSA 10 gem mints, both rookie cards. One does have the shield, one doesn't. We're looking at a 2012 Panini Prism Jimmy Butler Silver, last sold for $1,400 in November, and a 2014 Prism Joel Embiid, last sold April 5th for $1,250. I'm taking.
So this is very interesting. That interesting word keeps coming back in your
mind. I know.
So for me, this is a good one to talk about for a number of reasons. Okay, so the first thing I want to start with, just look at the sold date for the Jimmy Butler. So that is November the 12th, 23.
Yes, that's the last sold. Yep, correct.
As opposed to the Embiid, which sold on April the 5th. So we talk about liquidity in the hobby, and both of these guys, frankly, aren't that liquid. So you don't see a lot of Embiid sales. It's not like Zion or Ja or Luka, for that matter.
Yeah, for sure.
There's one every day. It's not like that. But you want to talk about someone who doesn't have liquidity, it is Jimmy Butler, because I would guess that in the last 12 months, there's maybe 6 sales of this card. And I would also say that would be a high guess.
I'm actually going into your All-Star spreadsheet.
You probably could click off that. So,
because these sales are both in there.
Yeah.
The last sold price for that.
So for me, the pricing is also worth discussing, because actually the Jimmy buckets is higher than the Embiid. And if you look at someone in terms of resume, like, to me, this is no argument. Look, Jimmy Butler is a great story. Mm. And I think what he's done is fantastic. And I love success stories like what Jimmy Butler did. And, you know, you have to tip your hat to this kid. But at the same time, he doesn't hold a bucket for Joel Embiid when it comes to basketball achievement and also talent, which is on the floor. So, you know, I find this card a little bit challenging, to be honest. And maybe what, for me, the real story out of this is that, like, frankly, there must be like a group of fanatic collectors out there who are just bidding this up and, dare I say it, shilling this stuff up, because I don't think that is a good long-term purchase. That's just my 2 cents.
No, I tend to agree.
Yeah.
The pop count in the Jimmy is smaller, but that's because it's 2012.
Sure.
Probably.
I don't disagree with that, but it also, too, you know, the pop on Embiid's
170,
Okay, sure.
All-star.
Yeah.
I'm on your spreadsheet,
yep.
And we've got the total pop count of the Jimmy Butler is 61. Total pop count of the Joel Embiid gems. So the gem pop is 174.
Right. So you've said the right thing there, by the way. You're right. I'm wrong. But I will say, I think this speaks more to me about the uncollectability of Embiid and how people just aren't on board with this guy. So
is he undervalued at that?
Absolutely.
Because I'm taking the Embiid every day of the week.
Particularly if you're paying more for Jimmy Butler than Embiid. I think that is absolute, frankly, nonsense.
Yeah.
So
someone was desperate to get it for a Christmas present. Clearly, it sold in November.
It actually compels me to go and look at Embiid cards.
Yep, yep. Especially now that he's back and healthy. Hopefully healthy. I think that was a fitting finale.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you to our friends at Central Coast Radio for tuning in. We really appreciate your support. Thank you for all of our podcast listeners too. Every single click that you guys give us just makes such a difference to us and our experience here. So thank you so much. Thank you everyone in the live chat. We are so, so grateful for everything that you do for us. And Adam, thank you again for a fantastic show.
Pleasure as always. I mean, without the listeners, it'd just be us just waffling on about cards. So it's nice to have the experience sort of be shared with everybody.
Absolutely.
Until next week.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.